You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 305 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is the man, the myth, and the legend, co-host Kevin Johnson.
I always feel like I should be prepared for the random weirdness that you use to introduce me. And every week I'm like, what is it this time?
I do this on purpose. Completely. On purpose. Yeah.
So now I have to switch to Old Spice or something, because isn't that the man, the myth, legend, and that Old Spice?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, if I stole it from Old Spice, I did. I'm sorry.
Not a sponsor. Old Spice.
Not clearly not a sponsor. We all smell really good on this podcast.
So. Oh, yeah.
Can you smell us now? Yeah.
Smell-o-vision on the computer.
Smell-o-vision. That's right. So, yeah. So we don't have Scott today. So Scott had another commitment. So we are gearing up for Thanksgiving, which is, we're actually recording this the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I wish everyone in the United States a happy Thanksgiving, but you'll be getting this on Monday. So belated happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you all had a great time. I did want to talk about something that, well, we talked about in our previous episode, which was we had mentioned that Scott or myself would go out to one of these AI picture generating applications, and we would generate a lonely and sad security awareness manager in a dog pound picture.
For only 37 cents a day, you can feed Sammy's sock analyst.
Yes, a lonely security awareness manager. So without further ado, I did want to share that with everyone. So if you're on the YouTube, you'll be able to see these here. And I'm just going to talk through them for those of you on the audio. But this first one, so this was an app called Deep AI, and these are the ones that it came up with. So this apparently is a masked man with, it looks to be German shepherds with some lights on their collars.
That's how you know it's cyber and futuristic.
That's the cyber, yes.
Right, that is. There's LEDs.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Those LED lights look like bombs wrapped around the dog's neck.
Go back.
Just doesn't seem good.
They did look like bombs. Yeah. So, then there's this guy who's sitting in, it looks like a UPS store.
I don't know. I want to know is, what's the vaguely rat shaped thing jumping at him from the one side?
What is the rat? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like this rat. It's very strange. And then there's this lonely dog who, you know, looks sad. He actually looks sadder than the guy that's supposed to be the security awareness manager. So
I think is funny is that dog looks oddly shrunken. Like,
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Deformed or something. Very strange.
But he has his laptop on his lap, so he's definitely a security person.
Yeah.
This, I think, so far, I think this is my favorite one so far.
This might be the favorite, right? This actually shows a woman in a dog kennel with actually dogs in the background, and she looks very sad. Like, very.
I think one of those is a bear.
Actually, I think it was a bear. Yeah, a bear and like a troll or something in the back. I'm not really sure. But that's a good one. I like that one. This one is also, this looks like she's in a bomb shelter. I have no idea.
With a pile of rocks.
Looks like sandbags.
I think the rock is what makes this one the best.
Yeah, sandbags, rocks, something like that. She looks very sad, very disturbed. The dog looks kind of like, what am I doing in this picture? This one, very concerned gentleman, you know, looking kind of lonely. Again, the dog also looking sad. I don't know what that is around his neck, like a
weird furry collar.
Yeah, very strange. This might be my favorite.
What I liked about see this one's good. I know this guy.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Yeah, his name's Steve.
Steve. But I like the, you know, the glasses that are like. This is clearly AI generated. There's something wrong with his glasses.
It looks like he's got three pairs of glasses on at the same time, which means it's probably Google Glass.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the word security, not manatary.
Manatarii, whatever.
Yeah.
This is the one thing I always get a kick out of AI is the AI graphics that they can't seem to spell things correctly. And no. I'm not worried about AI taking over yet until it can spell.
Yeah. This clearly AI has a long way to go if this is the pictures that are being generated.
Yes. The other ones so far were decent, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And this one's not bad. This is similar to the first one where you have like a one-legged dog, forward legs, but with two small legs. I don't know what's going on.
It looks like a two-legged dog and a two-headed, two-tailed dog.
Two-tailed dog, yes. Yes. With a very disturbing kind of gentleman in the middle.
He's trying to be John Wick.
Could be John Wick, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually Scott,
though. That is Scott.
Is this Scott with the dog with three eyes?
No. This is not Scott. Even though I could see Scott pulling off that hairdo.
How do you even get security awareness manager out of this picture? I have no idea, but that's what was returned.
You need three eyes to monitor for those APTs.
There it is. And then here's another one where, again, security something on a sign.
Leaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's really disturbing. And then the last one here, I don't even know what to do with this one. Like three lights, like a
this
UFO.
This is wildly racist.
What is going on? I don't know. It
looks like furry blackface, which just seems like a bad idea.
I don't even know. I just.
Yeah.
I have lots of questions. Mm. So.
Yeah, I think I'd leave that one out.
Yeah. So there you have it, folks. That is what AI will generate when you type the words lonely and sad security awareness manager in a dog pound. And the two apps that I used are Deep AI and Adobe Firefly. And honestly, Adobe Firefly generated, I think, the better quality of those images, the kind of cartoony images that I showed. Those are Adobe Firefly.
Nice.
And I didn't pay any money either, by the way, Kevin.
Even better. I always like when we get to do things and not pay money. I
agree.
Legally, not pay money.
That's right. So jumping into our first story this week, this is some big news. This is something that a lot of people said would never happen, but after much resistance, Apple has announced plans to adopt RCS, which is the Rich Communication Services Standard, added next year. So this means that now all of us Apple users can now properly text message Android users, and we can send emojis, we can do all the fun things.
Part of me is very upset that you're going to be able to do that as an Android
user. Are you?
Yeah? Yeah, part of me. I also will point out that you say that people said this would never happen and it's happened. It hasn't happened. They have vaguely said sometime end of next year,
true,
they will support it at some level.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, the article throws out this like, well, this might be driven by the European regulations and
that.
Things.
Yep.
There's no might be. Apple did not have a ton of iPhone users come to them and say, we want our Android access. They had European regulators say to them, look, you're a walled garden, and until you can prove to us you're not a walled garden, you're going to have problems. And that's what they're doing. The thing I find interesting, and the article calls it out that you sent over, but I find it interesting that they are not saying that iMessage will support RCS. What they're saying is the phone will support RCS alongside iMessage. So that sounds to me like if you're an iPhone user, you're going to have two apps. No, I don't think that's what they'll actually do. Yeah. What I would hope it is that if two iOS users are texting, they're in iMessage. And if they're not, it downgrades to RCS, for a meaning of the word downgrade.
It does. Yeah. Like if you're in a group chat, the way that I read it was if you've got like two Android users and a iOS user, you're still going to see the green bubble because Apple is very adamant about identifying who an Android user is, but it'll be transparent in terms of you know, read receipts and sharing of multimedia files, all of that, it's going to look like iMessage because that's what the RCS standard does, right?
Yeah.
Kind of evens the playing field. But unfortunately, those green bubbles are not going to go away.
See, I've never understood the concern about the color of the bubble. I do understand the concern, even though I don't like the majority of the features that are being added. Personally, I don't. Having somebody like my text message is not a feature I'm dying for. I treat it the same way I treat an announcement of dark mode, right? Like, nice to have, but don't care. But yeah, I find it interesting. And this is one of those cases where I would argue I'm wrong. Government regulation actually does stuff. And, right? But I think this is... Apple will twist this and spin this to say, look at the good thing we've done for the worldwide community. And the reality is they're doing it because regulators are breathing down their necks.
Yeah. And I guess just the security spin on this, because this is a security podcast, I do want to mention what happens when an Apple, you know, iMessage user sends a text message to an Android user. It goes over MS for multimedia or SMS for the text message. And both of those two things are insecure from a security perspective, right? Because messages are not encrypted. So RCS does add a layer of encryption, which is good. It is not the type of encryption, like end-to-end encryption that we see with like Signal as an example, but it
what
is
we recommend.
Better. Yeah. It is better than SMS, which is nothing. Yeah. So I do want to call that out.
This is one of the reasons why I'm not as excited about this, even if I was an iPhone user. I'm not going to move off of Signal to this. Like this.
Oh, no, same.
If this was something where it was like, hey, look, we've rolled this out and we now have the robust security levels of Signal and that's amazing. And I bluntly, I don't understand, especially after the details Signal released about how much it costs to run Signal, right? Which I thought was fascinating for them to release that and the information. But this is neat. What I'm more curious about are the, you know, not picking on Apple here, but Apple has a history of one text message owns. And I'm curious at how this integration of a fourth protocol into the stack, because you know as well as I do that the vast majority of vulnerabilities come about because of complexity within the application. And what we're doing here is we're just adding another layer of complexity. And it's a layer of complexity that bluntly is bolted on. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you've seen the issues with the 0 days that target specifically iMessage, right? Like Pegasus and all these NSO group,
absolutely,
you know, types of one click or, you know, you don't, all you have to do is open up the message and your device is completely owned. Yep.
And again, not picking on Apple, right?
No.
Complex infrastructure and ecosystem and stuff like that. But it absolutely has targeted iPhone. And now the iOS platform is going to have a fourth protocol to support and to support well. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm curious.
Same.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So our next story, which is elderly Americans are losing a lot of money to the tune of $1.1 billion to AI-powered scams in 2022. Now, I think we need to define what AI-powered scams are.
Can I define it?
Please, let's hear your opinion of it first.
Marketing, get people to click on this link.
You're saying this is clickbait.
I think it's clickbait. Here's the reality. Mm-hmm. Yes, seniors are losing money to these scams. AI has nothing to do with it. And I'm not saying that there aren't attackers who have used AI.
Right? Because they are.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Not disagreeing with that sentiment at all. What I'm disagreeing with is the clickbaity, scary number that is tied to this that is completely unsupported by facts listed in the article or any other article I can find related to it. This is somebody saying, oh my God, we need regulation. We need somebody to solve this. AI is going to kill us all. And instead of think of the children, it's think of the old people. and I say this, so let's actually define some of this, right? Like these types of scams are the phone rings, elderly person answers the phone, a person at the other end says, hey, it's your grandson, and I was just in an accident, and I'm arrested, and I need bail, and I need you to help me out, and I'm stuck, and nobody's answering the phone, and cry, send me money. Mm-hmm. And what the article is talking about is saying that those voices are being used to trick the elderly by having voices sound exactly like, because, well, you know, we can record, as long as we have 3 seconds of your voice, we can generate these calls. And while that statement is accurate, the vast majority of the elderly people who are losing money to these scams are losing money to these scams because they're falling for social engineering. It actually doesn't matter how the voice was generated. And because I will tell you right now, my father-in-law, who died well before AI generated voices were out there, fell for on multiple occasions a phone call from his grandson who was in jail and needed to be bailed out or had an accident and needed a repair money. And he sent money to people and he fell for it. I was there one day and he was talking to the person and I said, put it on speaker. And he put it on speaker and the person sounded nothing like Lenny's grandson. And I had to stop him from sending money.
Wow.
Right. I am not saying AI attacks aren't happening. I am saying this article has no proof and is using a grand total number that includes all reported scams. And that's a very important qualifier. Not reported scams based on AI. Because I'll ask a very simple question, right? Elderly person picks up the phone, falls for a scam, hangs up, sends money. Where did they get the proof that that was an AI-generated voice? Other than somebody saying, man, my grandpa just got scammed $10,000.
Yeah. And it wasn't me that called them. Yeah.
Right. And that's it. So this is FUD yet again. FUD. And I'll go with another one. Did you see the part of the article that says, well, when you answer the phone and it's click, 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 they're recording your voice to generate it against somebody else. It's like, well, that's funny because I've been getting those phone calls where it's click, 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 click for 20, 30 years. And what's actually happening from cases I've worked on for the Florida Attorney General and the Federal Trade Commission, where we've gone to court and we have evidence of what was happening, is it's a dialer service. And when there is a company that does dialing, and when the phone is answered, they transfer it to the company that has paid for the dialer service, hence the clicks. And very often, the system at the other end, the company at the other end, doesn't have the manpower either on board or available to take that call. You get a few clicks, and then it disconnects. They're not recording your voice for AI. They are not recording your voice for subversive means. That's how the system works. So is it theoretically possible that they did click, 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 click to get me to record me going, hello, hello, anybody there? If that was what they were really doing, they would have a voice talk to me and have me respond to them. So they would get better recordings. This entire article is bugged. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it got spread because there's two articles that have the exact same information rewritten in different ways. And they're both, sorry.
You've got great points. But I did want to bring up that, I was on Twitter, there are other security professionals like literally posting that their grandparents have in fact gotten scammed by a voice cloning scam. And whether or not it was a AI generated voice or not, I think it's better, like you said, let's educate about voice cloning, like any type of phone scam is really,
I think the phone scams are talk about. Yeah. And here's the most important thing that I learned when I was working with the Florida Attorney General's office, that's not a confidential public record. I worked with them for some cases on these types of scams and others. Here is the biggest issue. And the article actually calls it out. This is one of the few places in the article that I thought, okay, good. I'm glad they said that. Is that these numbers are based on reported scams. The vast majority of people never report the fact that the scam happened, right? And here's the problem. That means we have actually no concept of how serious the scams are. We have no concept of who has been harmed that we need to try to help. And in many cases, the AG's offices, and we've talked about this before on the show and off the show, that many times the AG office's hands are tied because unless they have reports of victims, they can't go after the companies, even though they know the companies exist, right? And so every single AG's office in the country, and I have no idea about outside the United States, but your mileage may vary. They have a consumer protection division. They may call it something else, whatever. They have a simple website or a phone number that you can call. You may say, well, there's no way to know. It's a fake phone number that got hijacked or blah, 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 blah. They can tell. There are things they can do to track this down. They have the ability. They have to have the victim, right?
Yeah.
If the victims aren't reporting it, if somebody doesn't call up Flag and say, hey, I got scammed out of $10,000, and I know it's embarrassing, and I know that the elderly don't want to come out and say, I fell for this trick, I lost this money and everything else like this. I just flew to Charlotte the Friday. I flew up here. And the lady sitting next to me was talking about the fact that her father fell for one of these scams. And I said to her, okay, great. Did you call the cops? Did you call the AG? Did you call? No, what could they do? They can do stuff. And so I explained it to her. We looked up the site, the state she was in, which I'm not going to say. She said, okay, the minute I land, I'm going to call them. Great. Wow. That's what they need. So do that.
Yeah. And I think, just because the holidays, and I know Thanksgiving has passed and, we have Christmas and all of that coming
up.
All those holidays. And naturally, people are going to be spending more time with elderly, family members. I always make it a point to educate and talk about these things and these types of scams, and I know some others have even suggested you should have safe words and other things with your kids. Or you ask, a scammer a question of like, well, hey, what's my middle name? Or, what's something that they only know to kind of invalidate the scammer when they're trying to do these things. So, but that's also hard too, because sometimes elderly people are just being caught in the moment. And so sometimes the social engineering is just really good and they don't have much time to think.
Well, like I said with Lenny, right? Lenny fell for it once. He and I talked about it. We explained. He talked to his grandson to verify that it wasn't really him. Because that was one of the things, like, well, maybe it is. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe it really was him. And I'm not using names on purpose other than Lenny's, but Lenny died a few years ago, sadly. And so I don't think he's... And he also proudly told people in my classes that he fell for scams all the time.
Yeah.
But he fell for it once. We had the conversations. We talked to him. We tried to get the money back. We did all this kind of stuff. And it was less than 6 months later. And he fell for almost the exact same scam for the same grandson.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him about it, Lenny wasn't stupid. Right? Lenny was a great man, smart man, respected him and loved him amazingly. It was the adrenaline and the fear of something like, I can fix this. I can help my grandson. I can do this. There was no, like, what is it? fight or flight
yes.
idea.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Like he reacts. Hey, I was in an accident. I need this help. Okay, I can help you. There isn't a pause and think. It's a react. So, and that is, I was just reading an article today about flight attendants and how they at takeoff and at landing, the way they sit and why they sit that way and the things like this. And it's the exact same thing. Yep. It's this idea of if we actively talk about it over and over and over and over again, it doesn't guarantee the scam won't happen. It doesn't guarantee that they won't fall for the scam, but it actually puts a finger on the scale, right?
It does.
There's a chance they're going to, oh yeah, mm-hmm. Tom said, I remember this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's something too. Practice makes perfect, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
The more you do something, absolutely. The more you remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for today, Kevin. So thank you for joining me here. I know before the holidays, it's always crazy time, but I appreciate you coming on the show. As a co-host, official co-host.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a
for
guest.
My
I'm a long-term guest. I'm like fish. I stink after 3 days.
The guest that will never go away. So crazy.
Yeah.
But we will talk to everyone again next week. And in the meantime, stay safe and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net. or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.